Good morning, family. I am taken back to when I first was called to preach. And what we just experienced is what we refer to as preaching weather. Now, that may not mean very much to you, but it means a great deal to me as a preacher standing before you. So I say, thank God for the praise and worship team. Amen. That is indeed preaching weather. Preparing our hearts to come together as we hear from God this morning. And there is a word from God. There is a word from God for you. There is a word from God for me. And God is going to speak to us. But before we get to his word, I want to invite you as we go, we begin this Advent season, we are anticipating to see God do mighty and great things amongst us. And in that anticipation, we are preparing ourselves. So I'm inviting you to prepare with us as we anticipate a great transformation. God is going to change you. God is going to change us. The main text this morning will come from the book of Genesis, chapter 12. So if you have the copy of the Bible, you may go there. As we begin this Advent season, in anticipation of God's gift of sending his son to be the savior of the world, we are also celebrating the fulfillment of the promise. The fulfillment of the promise that God gave that he will send his son to be the savior of the world. So Genesis chapter 12, I'll read to your hearing verse 1 through 4. You can follow along with me. And the Bible reads, "The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. God called Abram to move from his home in Haran to a place he would show him. Abram was to leave his country. He was to leave his people. He was to leave his father's household. So after I read this, I asked myself a question that you may be asking yourself this morning. Why did Abram have to go? Why did he have to leave? Now, to answer this question, one has to go back to the creation mandate where God expressed his desire and commanded Adam and Eve to multiply and fill the earth. In that expression of God's desire to Adam and Eve to multiply and fill the earth, comes this idea of the call of Abram to leave his home country, to leave his people, to leave his father's household, and to go to a place that God would show him. Then, as you read the account of creation, as you read the account of God speaking of Adam and Eve, and as you read the account of people on earth, you will see that humanity rebelled against God's mandate. or that rebellion has not ended. We are still the people of rebellion. But back then you see that humanity rebelled against God's mandate. After the fall of Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, there is a hint of God now giving up on humanity despite its rebellion. There, Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, God hints at what we are even anticipating right now. God hints after people's rebellion. He says to the woman, out of your seeds, out of you will come a savior who will crush the head of Satan and will be victorious over rebellion and fall that you have experienced. However, the Bible tells us also, as we continue to read the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, that God saw that every inclination in the human mind was nothing but evil. That humanity was nothing but was steeped into evil. Therefore, he issued a declaration that I am going to destroy what I declare to be good. I'm going to destroy all of humanity because its inclination is evil. But God didn't let go. He didn't let go completely. He didn't let go. So he came to where we are. He didn't let go. He said, I'm going to destroy humanity because of evil. Because of its rebellion. So he called a man called Noah. You've heard his story. He called Noah to build an ark which preserved him and his family. Then Noah and his family got in the ark, and God sent a deluge of water on earth and destroyed everything but Noah and his family. Fast forward. Now here I was trying to answer the question, why did Abram had to go? To get a picture of why Abram had to go, you have to go back and see all of this history up to the destruction of everything that God created only by saving Noah and his family. Now from there, fast forward to chapter 10, after Noah and his family come out of the ark, his children became involved in nation building. Instead of following the command of God to multiply and fill the earth, the sons of Noah made their own declaration. And that was a declaration of independence from God. They made their own declaration. They declared themselves independent from God. They said things like this, let us build our own city. That is, let us build our own civilization. Let us build a city with a tower. That is, mean let us build our own religious center. Let us make a name for ourselves. All of this is found in the book of Genesis chapter 11. After Noah had come out of the ark and his children began to multiply and they declared these things. Instead of dependence to God, they declared their own independence from God. Instead of following God's plan to multiply and fill the earth, they wanted to do everything to prevent them being scattered. And the Bible tells us, God in his counsel looked around and he says, all these people, as they are unifying themselves. Now at that time they spoke one language, so God said, let's confuse them. So introduce multiple languages. Through the confusion came languages like Arabic, language that come from the Germans' background, languages like Swahili. All of them came out of that confusion. And God scattered the children of Noah. Their effort would be man-centered, not God-centered. Now, friends, with this background, we now come to understand why Abram had to leave. When God saw how terribly wicked people were, he continued to work. He chose to fulfill his purpose through one faithful man, Abram. God's desires, friends, was to still fill the earth with his glory and to bless all the peoples, to bless the nations. But he would work it out through one individual to accomplish this. Therefore, God commanded Abram to leave. To leave his father's house, to go to a new land. Go with me back to Genesis chapter 12. I just gave you this history to set up where now Abram has to go to fulfill God's desire to fill the earth with his glory. So in verse 1, I'll read again to your hearing. Then God said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. Verse 2, he says, I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. He called Abram from among the rebellious people and sent him out. Abram was to leave the things that were close and dear to him. When I read, you will leave your people, your country, your father's household, a word comes to mind. Those things represented to Abraham, they represent to you and I today security. God is saying, you are going to leave your security to accomplish my goal. Now, reading this, and as I struggled and labored with it, I found specific things in here that probably you may also find with me as we journey through these verses this morning. Abram was never told specifically where to go. But his destination is to be his inheritance. Because now he has left his country, which would be his inheritance. He has left his people, which would be his inheritance. He has left his father's household, which would be his inheritance. Then he has to go. No specific place, but God just says, go. So he left. He left and went to a strip of land that we now know today as Israel. The bridge. How so, Israel, the bridge? From Israel, people from all continents that we can know will be able to crisscross. People from Africa to get to Europe, they go through Israel. People from Europe to go to Asia, they go through Israel. People from Asia to go to Africa, to go to Europe, go through Israel. So God sent him there. You get the picture? You'll be a blessing to the nations. You'll be the blessings to the people. This is like this. This is like this. And this could speak to you today. This is like this. This is like our God promises to you and me as followers of Jesus. This is what God promises to you and me as followers of Jesus. And this will be my first thought if you are writing things down. God says this. Following God obligates us to leave our security. Obligates us to leave our comfort zone. Obligates us to leave the things that we hold close and dear and to rely on God and God alone. However, the promise, this obligation to leave our security, our comfort zone, and to rely on God and God alone. However, the promise, this promise, you may be afraid. Abraham could have been afraid and probably resisted God. You may be afraid to respond to the call that God is placing on you. Let me tell you, friends, knowing that God is with you should be an antidote or should be a treatment or help to be able to help you realize that he is not going to leave you alone. He's not going to leave you alone. The promise of God is an antidote for fear or anxiety about where Abram will end up. Now, do you ever wonder? Do you ever wonder what will become of you if you truly were to respond to God's call on your life? I don't mean playing around with God's call. I mean responding to God's call. Do you ever wonder what will become of you if you were to respond to God's call? Is there a cost associated with your response to God's call on your life? You know, in the United States of America, there's very little that is asked of us when we follow Jesus. Very little. And even what is asked of us in that little that is asked of us to follow Jesus, many of us struggle to respond to the call of God. Oh, let me take you around the world. There are people in other parts of the world, once they make a decision to follow Jesus, they are disowned from their families. This would be like, for example, people from the Islamic faith. If you choose to follow Jesus from the Islamic faith, you are disowned from your family. You are written off the will. You are no longer a child or a daughter of this particular family. Or there are other parts of the world. And I can speak of some African traditions, some of which I held from. If you decide to follow Jesus, you will also be disowned from your people, from your tribe. What is asked of us in this country if we were to make a decision to follow Jesus? Friends, I'll tell you, and you know the answer, very, very little. So let me ask, what have you or what are you willing to lose as a consequence of following God's call on your life? Now you can answer that question to yourself. And if it's too difficult to answer, probably take that question with you home. And in this Advent season, as we anticipate the gift of God to humanity, that you can be able to answer the question, what have you or what are you willing to lose as a consequence of following God's call on your life? But I would like to reassure you of this, that God's promise for those who choose to respond to his call, he says, although your human family may reject you, you will still be a member of God's family. And as a member of God's family, you will have a place to be. What is God's family? This is what John says in John chapter 12, chapter 1, verse 12. He says this. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. God does not leave us orphaned or abandoned or alone. The church is the family of God. The church becomes your family if you choose to follow God. The church, the family of Christ, provides us security. It provides security for those who have responded to the call to follow Jesus. This will be thought number two if you are taking notes this morning. The church is the new family. The church is the new family to the believers. Those who choose to follow the call of God, the church is our new family. So I'll say this to the brothers, to a sister who leaves their faith, the Muslim faith, or the African traditional faith, or any other faith outside of the faith in Jesus Christ and are disowned by their family. They are written off the will from their family. God has provided you with a family. And that family is the body of Christ. This is one of the promises that God made to all believers. So in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 and 4 through 4, he says this to Abraham. He says, you know, you just go back. Look at those verses. Go back at those verses and look at them with me. Because I went back and look and say, okay, what is God saying here? Why is he saying? Verse 2, he says, I'll make you into a great nation. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. You will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I'll curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Then I went back on my couch and I began to think of my interaction with some people in this community and other followers of Jesus. When we are talking about the call of God, sometimes, friends, I find myself begging the people of God to do what God has called them to do. But I see no begging here. I see God is saying to Abram, this is what I'm calling you to do. I found no sense of negotiation. I found no sense of threat. God doesn't even say, I'm going to threaten you if you don't do this. It's just strictly straight up. These verses strictly communicated God's will to Abram, and Abram listened, and what did he do? What did he do? He obeyed. He listened and obeyed. No negotiation, no begging, no threat. Just straightforward. And Abram listened and obeyed. So I ask, how about us? How many times should God call us to a task before we can engage? Now, these are my own wrestling as I read the text. And I don't know if you are wrestling with the text this morning, just as I wrestled and wrestling with it here before you. I want to say, Abraham provides us with an example. He provided an example of how we should live and serve God. Abraham did not know where he was going. He did not know where God was leading him. He only knew that if he would obey, God would respond by making him into a great nation, making his name great, and even using him to bring blessings to others. That's the only thing he knew. Now, out of his obedience to God's call, God promised Abraham some pretty awesome stuff. He really did. And we can easily pick them up here. Those are at least five I will, which are the promise of God to Abraham out of his obedience. At least five of them. Verse 2 and 3, he says, I will make you into a great nation. How? Let me show you. Now, Abraham, at this time, the text tells us he was 75 years old. 75 years old. Basically, which means no kids out of you, Abram. The time has passed. This is a great promise and yet kind of a strange promise. So at this point, God has given him no children. So how is he going to be the father or ancestor of an entire nation? Do you know what kind of business God specializes in? God specializes in impossible business. When you look and you say, no way, Jose. God looks and says, yes way, Jose. Specializes in impossible business. How is he going to make this man the father of a whole nation? As history goes, Abraham became the human ancestor of most Jews and the spiritual ancestors of all Christians and all Jews and all Muslims. That makes up a whole bunch of people. a whole bunch of people. Abraham is the father in faith of a very large portion of humanity. God came through on his promise to Abraham. The second I will, he said this, I'll bless you. This blessing will consist of many things. If you read the account of scriptures, Abraham was the ancestor of many nations. Not only many nations, but strong nations, strong people. His descendants were strong. Genesis chapter 15 verse 5 tells us of how strong they were. Third, I will, he says, I'll make your name great. Abraham will become a power to be dealt with. As the physical ancestors of the Jews and the spiritual father of all believers, his name will be mentioned by many people. Quickly, let's go to the book of Acts chapter 7 and you're going to find that his name is actually mentioned here. Acts chapter 7 verse 2. This is Stephen speaking. He says, as they ask him the questions, what are you talking about? He said this, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father. Whose father? What father? Appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. In John chapter 8, verse 53, you find again also this reference. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? So God says, I'll make your name great. Abraham will become the power to be dealt with. As the physical ancestor of all these people, he is mentioned by many, many, many people. The fourth promise is this, I'll bless those who bless you. So everyone who blessed Abraham, God also blessed. I'll curse those who curse you. Anybody who stands against Abraham, guess what? Whom does he stand against? Oh, are you tracking with me? Stand against God. Because God says, whoever stands with you, I stand with them. Whoever stands against you, I stand against them. So those who bless you, I'll bless. Those who curse you, I'll curse. So if you oppose Abraham, you are in essence opposing God. The fifth promise, he says, I'm going to curse the people who curse you. Anyone who wants to do you harm, Abraham, I will take care of them. These five promises affirm the relationship that Abraham had with God. However, it did not end there, my friends. In calling out Abraham, God predicted what will become of him should he obey him. God will bless him, and all the people of the earth will be blessed through him. We want God's blessings, don't we? We want God's blessings in our lives, don't we? We do. We want God's blessings in our lives. He says to Abraham, God bless, I'll bless you. I'll bless you. At times, We want to keep the blessings, and we've been blessed tremendously. We've been blessed spiritually. We've been blessed physically. We've been blessed in all kinds of ways. What do we do when we receive God's blessings? If you are like most people, when we receive God's blessings, we hold it to ourselves. And yet here, God is telling Abraham, he says, I'm going to bless you so you can be what? You can be a blessing to the nations. At times, we want to keep God's blessings to ourselves. Here, God is making it clear that God's blessings are not to be kept to oneself, but they are to be used to bless others. They are to be used to bless others. It is the same way with us as God told Abraham that I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to the nations. It's the same way God says of us. When he blesses us spiritually, when he blesses us physically, God is calling us to use those blessings to be able to bless other people. That's the prime reason why God blesses us. So if you're taking notes, it will be thought number three. God blesses me so that I can bless others. Abraham was blessed by God so that he can be a blessing to others. Abraham being a blessing to others took place in a coming of the Messiah. It took place in the coming of the Messiah through his descendants. The book of Galatians chapter 4, Paul tells us this. He says, Abraham, the blessing that Abraham received became a blessing to all other nations. Paul says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman. Remember Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. There was a promise, a hint to what was to come. God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. To do what? To redeem those under the law, that we may receive. Now remember here, Abraham had to leave his country, he had to leave his people, he had to leave his household. Remember, I told you about those who come from other faiths who get disowned and written off the will. Now God said this, I'm going to send my son to be able to die and redeem those who have no families so that we can be a part of the family of God to receive the adoption to sonship. The salvation of Jesus Christ offers The salvation that Jesus Christ offers will not belong only to one nation, as the early Jew Christians had to discover very quickly, but it will be passed on. It will be passed on to all the nations of the world, which was God's desire from the very beginning. The God desire from the very beginning was to make his glory known throughout the earth. If you look in the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 28 and 29, you will find things like this. So he says to them, you are aware that it is against our law. This is Peter speaking here, being called to go to the house of Cornelius. He said this, you are aware, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or even visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So, when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius, Peter says, why do you send for me? And then Peter went on and told the whole story. And the Bible tells us Cornelius and his household came to faith. This will be thought number four if you are writing things down. That the salvation in Jesus Christ does not belong to any one nation, but it belongs to all nations. Christ Jesus is for the nations. Christ Jesus is for the nations. That's why John will write in Revelation chapter 5 verse 9, he writes things like this, and this is at the end. He writes things like this, you and I are going to sing. We are going to sing. And then they sang a new song saying that you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nations, and all will come and stream to your throne and declare hallelujah to your name, Jesus, because you are great, because you are awesome, because you are worthy to be praised. Amen? Amen. This is the promise of God to the world. And in this Advent season, we are anticipating, we are preparing ourselves to be able to receive the gift that God has given to humanity. So if you are here this morning and you have not received this gift, I cannot take my seat but invite you, because the gift is available for you. It is a promise that God gave long ago, and that promise is well and alive today, and it's for you to receive. It was given to Abraham to be able to go and share with the whole world to make the glory of God visible and present to all. So let me ask you today, friend who may be here this morning or watching us online, if you have not received the gift of God, this will be a very good time for you to be able to say, Lord, I want that gift. I want that gift because that gift was meant for me. Through Abraham, God says, go and declare my glory to the nations. Through Abraham, God says, I will send a Savior, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ. This Christmas, we're going to celebrate his first coming. But guess what? He's coming back. He's coming back again. And before he comes back again, he desires to have a relationship with you. So if you have no relationship with Jesus, this would be a great day to be able to say, I want to receive that gift. I want to be in relationship with you. And if you do so, it will be our joy and our pleasure to be able to walk with you, so you can indicate. As we close this service here, we have ways on how we bless God and bless his people by giving monetarily, but it will be even more powerful if you were to give your life to Christ today. May God bless you, my friends. May God be with you as we anticipate this season of the coming of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.